So, my dear brothers and sisters, I hope that as we were listening to this gospel, that we heard it with ears wide open, because it truly is a gospel that I hope causes us to reflect greatly about the necessity and the importance that forgiveness plays in the Christian life and in our lives. As we were listening to the second reading, I want to ask you a question, and I think that this is a question we can answer all at one time because I know we were all listening attentively, and it's a pretty simple answer. But St. Paul sums up about who we live and die for. So for whom do we live and die? We live and die for Christ. Now, we say that with great truth and hopefully great joy. But when we say that, do we really mean it? Because if we live for Christ and we die for Christ, then, my dear brothers and sisters, do we live our life in Christ? That's another question. And today we get the answer to what does it mean to live in Christ, where Peter is kind of doing a test of the limits to see, okay, Lord, how far do I have to go in order to do the minimum? You know, just, is it only 7 times that I have to forgive? Just the minimum, because I wouldn't want it, God forbid, I forgive too much. Just, what's the right? And Jesus answers him by saying, Peter, not 7 times. Not 7 times. 77 times. You think, well, okay, that's not that bad, but what Jesus means is infinitely. 7 is a perfect number for the Jewish people, and so Jesus is saying, how often do we forgive? We forgive always. And he uses the example of this, and he says that the kingdom of heaven, he said, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. This is what it means to be merciful. And we have this servant who owes a great grand sum, something like, I think in today's dollars would be like $1 billion. And he's forgiven. And then we have another guy who, this servant who lent $100 to another guy and the other servant, and he's ready to send him to the guillotine for $100 after he was just forgiven $1 billion. So the question is, how do we live mercy? Well, first, to understand mercy, we have to first understand the mercy that God has for us. Now, that kind of mercy for us is very understandable and relatable. Because we are really quick when it comes to wanting God's mercy. We are really quick when we catch ourselves in a fault or two. God forbid, we don't have more than 2 faults, I know. But when we catch ourselves in maybe a fault or two, we are very quick to say, Lord, 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 please, 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 don't hold it against me. Please don't hold it against me. Now, it's easier for us to ask God for mercy. It's easy for us to expect. And a lot of times it's not that we ask God to be merciful. We expect it, and in a lot of cases we presume it. But that is a whole other homily. That's a whole other homily. But my dear brothers and sisters, we have a way of experiencing that mercy, a tangible way. And so we have the sacrament of confession. But this is why we have a hard time with God's mercy because we expect it, we presume it, but we don't like to go and ask for it. And so, because we have a problem with the sacrament of confession, which we shouldn't have, but we have it. But again, now that's a third homily for another day. But when it comes to understanding God's mercy, we're really pretty good with that, like I said. But here's the kicker. Because it's not only expecting God's mercy, but it is also how are we merciful, forgiving of the other? Fantastic, isn't it? Amazing how quick we are to say, Lord, 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 please, don't take into account my sins. But how quick when someone does us wrong, what a memory we have. We can't remember what we get, what we need to get at the grocery store, but we remember what our brother did to us 25 years ago, that little snot. And I'm being nice. Because it's interesting, when it comes to mercy with the other, we are all for an eye for an eye, but we don't stop there. An eye for an eye, that ain't enough. We want an eye for an eye. We want an eye for an eye. We want an eye for a leg, an arm, a hand, and 10 pounds of flesh with it. And that ain't enough either. Think of it for a second, the seriousness of what holding a grudge and not forgiving the other has done to us. How many families have been destroyed because we're carrying something around a sibling did or said or looked at us the wrong way 40 years ago? And we're still angry. And we're still holding grudges. And we still want a pound of flesh. And we're going to get every pound of it till they pay it back. And then we don't stop there. Now, because we live in a modern world, we have Facebook and Instagram and all those wonderful things. So then when somebody does something wrong to us, not only do we want a pound and a half and 10 pounds of flesh, we also make sure the whole world knows. We don't stop there. Somebody does us something wrong, how quick, we're like Quick Draw McGraw to the phone. Somebody did something wrong to us, where's the first place we go? To the pocket, to call our sister or our niece or our nephew or somebody. You believe what Father Joe did? It's interesting. It is interesting and it's serious. Because if we say we live for God, if we say we die for God, then, my dear brothers and sisters, the first reading, the end of the first reading, is a sobering reminder because it says, remember the end of your life. And I invite you to go home and spend 5 minutes with this reading. It's eight verses of Sirach. I invite you, go home and spend 5 minutes. And I tell you, you will walk away from this reading a different person if you really pray with it and not give it just lip service. You really pray with it. You will walk away a different person. But it says at the end, remember the end of your life and cease from enmity. Remember destruction and death and be true to the commandments. Remember the commandments and do not be angry with your neighbor. Remember the covenant of the Most High and overlook ignorance. In other words, God, the excuse, oh Lord, I didn't know, ain't gonna cut it. When we face the Lord, We are going to be asked, did you forgive? Did you forgive? Or did you hold on to the amazing capacity to hold a grudge? And I'm not just talking about a grudge. I mean, we're a lot better. I've seen grudges, and I've seen horrible grudges. I told you the story. I won't bore you with the whole story again. But I had a family who went to their graves without speaking to each other for 20 years. Because over a Cadillac and a bike. Oh, Father, I'm not like that. We see. How many families are fighting over inheritances? We stop talking to our siblings over fighting over money. How many of families are here and we're not talking to our siblings because they said something to us? How many times are we dreading, now that the holidays are coming, we're dreading Thanksgiving and Christmas because we have an uncle that drives us crazy, or we have a nephew or a niece, and we're still holding something that they did on a holiday 15 years ago. We have an amazing capacity to hold a grudge. And this is why, if we die for the Lord, then, my dear brothers and sisters, when we face the Lord, will we truly, from the bottom of our hearts, be able to say, Lord, I forgave. And so, let me give you some practical things. The first and foremost practical thing is to experience the mercy of God. And so, to experience the mercy of God, as I said in the beginning of the homily, we should run to the sacrament of confession. We should stay very close to the sacrament of confession and let go of all of the excuses that we use to stay away. Because again, that's another thing with, if you're honest with yourself, the every reason you won't want to go to confession is an excuse. But the Lord is waiting for you with open arms to help you to get up, to begin again, to start over. And so leave the excuses and run to the confession. The other thing I invite you to do is, in this week, ask the Lord for the grace to think of one person, living or deceased. It could be both. We can ask forgiveness from the deceased too. For which we have held a grudge. One, because I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm not going to go out on a limb for you. I go out on a limb for me. There's a lot more than one. But one. Find one this week, and begin really truly the process of living. If we're going to say we live. We live for Christ, we live and die for Christ. Let's act like it. Let's find that one. Make peace with one. So today, as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that he gives us his body and blood, which is the strength, the grace we need to fulfill what the life that you and I are being called to.